We continue the shiur in Sichos Zoran, Rabbeinu Zal Sichos. This is Simon Hey 5. This item, Rabbeinu Zal speaks very, very strongly against the books written by the philosophers, those who delve deeply into questions about faith, those who write about this with seeming authority, when actually it is the most sacrilegious thing to do. And more than writing about it, Rabbeinu Zal says, is an Iser, it is forbidden for a person to read this, because this is not the way of a Jew. The Jewish religion is contact with and ties with Hashem are based upon pure faith. Pure faith means nothing else but. In the case of these books of philosophy, these philosophers will go into questioning faith, ask questions, and attempt to answer them. Most of their statements, or all, are based upon false statements. There are no actual facts. They are theories that are definitely against the words of the Torah. Even if these books are written by Jewish philosophers, or even by great philosophers of the past, the Zohar Kodesh, too, condemns them. The fact that is brought in the Zohar Kodesh, that what is looked up to today, or is regarded highly, a doctor of philosophy today, doctor philosophy, the Zohar Kodesh says, the origin of this kafida, this source of atheism, actually came from the lowest depth, which was the land of Egypt. In Mitzrayim, there the Egyptians were filled with sorcery, magic, witchcraft, which actually existed then. It does not exist anymore now, but something did remain. When magic was eradicated, wiped out completely, what remained was this source of philosophy. And we see how evil it turned out, because when the Jews left Egypt, a lot of misfortune befell them. Why? How? From whom? There was this Edav Rav, this mixture of Egyptians that came out of Egypt, and these were the ones who caused the sin of the golden calf. You will never find in the Torah where it says that the Jews built the golden calf. Never. You'll find only Ha'om, the people of Egypt who came with them. They are the ones that built the golden calf. They are the ones who rebelled against Hashem and against Moshe Rabbeinu during the years in the desert. They are the ones who brought every type of evil to the Jews then, and from them came forth all the subsequent evils of philosophy, which destroys the essence of our faith. They are called the Edav Rav, and therefore the Zohar Kodesh says, to this day, doctor of philosophy is Begimatria Edav Rav, numerically the same as Edav Rav. And worse still, we could add to this, that today we have the Reform conservative rabbis who pride themselves on their degrees of philosophy. They title themselves Doctor Rabbi of Philosophy. Note the word doctor comes before the word rabbi with them, because Doctor Rabbi of Philosophy is Begimati exactly Philosoph Arur, accursed philosopher, so that we know of whom to beware. Be careful of. Rabbeinu Zal adds that in those books of philosophy, which are forbidden to read, nevertheless, let it be known that there is no wisdom, no depth in them whatsoever as the kind we find in the Torah Kedusha. The Torah you find depth, infinite depth, because it is the word of Hashem. You find increasing statements, increasing chidushim, novel ideas that are endless. It is a well of water that never ends when studying any statement in the Torah. Whereas, lahavdil, these books of philosophy are based upon lies, falsehoods, and evil statements, misstatements, one on top of the other, always contradicting themselves. And of course, the ultimate, the end is that it brings about a disaster to a person that reads it. Benel says that there is a reward for emunah, for faith, that truly is eternal life. Faith leads to Gan Eden, to paradise, eternal life. The opposite, the lack of faith or philosophy, is the opposite of paradise, which is Gehenna. In this case, those who read philosophy, Benel says they receive a one way ticket. To Gehenna, no return. Therefore, Rabbeinu Hillel says, Ashrei. And this goes for everybody at all times. It goes for every one of us here. It goes for all those who are far greater than we are, and those in the past, the great tzaddikim in the past too. Ashrei means blessed and fortunate is that person that does not delve into these books of philosophy, that does not bother with them at all, that does not go into controversies, discussions on philosophy, but rather accepts very simply the ideals of faith. Very simply means without questioning at all. This means that a person would be considered a simpleton, a very simple-minded or narrow-minded person, as the believers are accused of being. Now, the Gemara says that let me be called a narrow-minded fool. These are the words of the Gemara. I would be very happy to be called a narrow-minded fool every day of my life. Much better than to be a wise person reading philosophy and then coming before the heavenly court and being called by Hashem an evil person, a Rasha, going to Gehenna Chas V'Shalom. Let me be that simpleton, that narrow-minded fool, with this pure faith in Hashem, because I know then I'm on the right side. You recall he once mentioned Rabbeinu Zal's greatest disciple, Rabbeinu Zal, who carried on the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal, had two very famous students. One of these was a Goy, a Talmudic genius. His mind was as vast as a forest in containing and retaining everything that he studied. He knew the 60 Gemaras, he knew the Shulchan Aruch, everything that there was come out to be known, including the Sifrei Kabbalah. And he had one of his friends, one of his colleagues, was a very simple person who was not that clever. He wasn't that wise. His mind was not that sharp. He could not study that deeply. He listened to Rabbeinu Zal's lessons. He listened to them very avidly, followed them, carried them out, but could learn very little. A simple person. They once got into a little debate, and the learned one said to the other, the simple one, how can you argue with me when I am so much better off than you? Without resorting to conceit, simple fact, I know more in a minute than you have studied in your whole life, that you can never compare your knowledge to mine. I have infinite stores of knowledge of Teda, while you are a simple comparable to Namrods. The second Talmud replied to the first. The response was very clear. He said to him, it is true that you have learned so much more Torah than I have. You're so much better off for that. There's one thing, though, that I would still consider more important than all your knowledge. What you're saying now is in a positive sense. Positive sense, you have learned more than I have. True. But I possess a quality over you in a negative sense, which I think outweighs, overshadows all the knowledge you have. And that is, I noticed that in your bookcase, among all these hundreds of Sfarim, you have one sefer, one book on philosophy, which I know you've read through. I haven't read any of the other Sfarim, but I also have never looked into any philosophy book. And therefore, I know less than you, but my mind is also much more pure than yours, because my mind has never been contaminated with this philosophy knowledge. First one burst into tears, because he was a sincere person, a lamdan, a scholar, very sincere though, and he said, you're right. It is true, because it's very difficult to forget what you have learned. Every person does forget to a degree, some more and some less, but an impression of what you learn remains. Very difficult to erase from a person's mind some of the poison that's contained in these books of philosophy. Therefore, the Rabbeinu says, Ashrei, fortunate, blessed is that person that has never looked into those books, that has never attended a lesson dealing with philosophy, that has never contaminated his mind, has never gotten that germ which can actually destroy a person's soul, which is found in the brain. Rabbeinu shows that Emunah is so important that Moshe Rabbeinu himself taught us the basis of emunah. Above all else is the fact that emunah, the amina of Hashem, to believe in Hashem and the tzaddik emes. What is emunah actually? What is meant by faith? When we say blind faith, we mentioned once the Zayde Kaddish calls faith limta shapirta de lesla ein. Let's analyze that carefully because there's a fantastic halacha found based on that. The Freimel Zal brings this item. What this means, you have, we describe faith as exactly the words used in the Zayde Kaddish, a beautiful maiden who has no eyes. One who possesses the greatest beauty in existence, faith, the greatest beauty, but no eyes. You cannot see that which you believe in. If you see it, it is no longer faith, it is knowledge. What is so beautiful about this item? The beauty is that a person who has pure faith, without his eyes, can see it as clearly and even more clearly than a person with eyes sees something he knows. How can we prove this? Prove that faith means something that you do not see, yet it is though you actually see it. Can we prove that legally? The answer is yes. Because there is a statement in the Gemara that Hashem created the world in 6 days. The seventh day was a day of rest. Creation was completed in 6 days. The seventh day, there was no longer creation. It was complete. The Gemara says, what happened on the eighth day? What happened on the eighth day? What happens when after Shabbos is over? What sustains creation? Hashem created each day. Till the seventh day, there was a world. Wasn't the world destined to disappear unless there was another creation that took place? And the Gemara answers, of course. We find in Vayechulu, Asher Boro Alekim La'asais, that Hashem created La'asais to continue creating. The world was not created and completed to last. The world was created in order to continue creating this. It cannot exist without a continuous series of creations. And this is fact. Boro Alekim La'asais, the last letters are emes. This is the truth about creation. The Gemara says, how is the world created? Again and again. It means that as soon as Shabbos ends, there must be a new creation to sustain the world. The first creation was done by Hashem. Hashem himself, Echal Kim, Hashem himself completed all creation. The creations that take place every week to create a world for another week is done by the Jews who observe the Shabbos. If a Jew observes the Shabbos, Asher Boro Alekim La'asais, the Jew now with the Shabbos has created the world for another week. Therefore, the Gemara says that when the Jew goes to shul for Friday night and he testifies, he says while standing, after Shemoneh Esrei, the Jews stand and they recite the passage by Hulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz. They recite the fact that the world was created, heavens and earth were created and completed. When the Jew testifies to that fact, then he is creating heaven and earth. And what is he testifying to? That Hashem created the heaven and earth. The rule is, according to Hebrew law, it is impossible legally for a witness to testify to something he did not see. He is not a kosher witness unless he actually saw, he observed, he noticed this act that he's testifying about. Here we have legal testimony, so legal that the Jew is creating through this testimony. A Jew states, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz, I testify that Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Did you see this action? The answer is, my emunah, my faith is so pure that of course I've seen it. Faith is better than actual sight. This is, in a sense, false sense, called blind faith. Blind faith is the most powerful vision that exists. More than any person's sharpest eyesight, no 20/20 vision can compare to pure blind faith. Nelson Zell says we find true. Yecheskel HaNavi, Prophet Yecheskel, who had this vision and seeing the hosts of heaven, the angels in heaven, the heavenly world. His statement is in the book of prophets, Niftechu HaShemayim, the heavens were open. The heavens were open before me. And I observed, I saw with my eyes, the sight of the heavenly holiness, sacredness in heaven. This I saw, he describes it. Yechezkel saw this, and I saw. Avnosenzal says, how did he see? How would one see this? Yes, there is. Niftechu HaShemayim Vo'ere Marais Elokim. Sefer Teves, the last letters of those words make up the word emunah. With emunah, he saw this. A person who does not have faith can never see a thing like this. He will never live to see it. He will never see it afterwards either. If a person has this pure faith, then he sees it. Because with this faith, a person can actually feel within himself. He senses, he feels the Kedusha, the existence of Hashem, the existence of heaven, and the existence of all that is written in the Torah. This is something that a person lives. Faith is something that is vibrant and alive. If a person possesses it, he sees these sights clearly. Niftechu HaShemayim, the heavens are opened, Vo'ere, and I saw. With what? With eyes of faith. Blind, but eyes of faith. Olimpta Shapirta, this is the beautiful maiden without eyes. The greatest beauty that exists because this is heavenly. Melanel says that in order to achieve this, it's a wonderful thing to have this faith. How would a person go about it if he lacks this faith and within his heart there burns a strong desire to acquire this? How wonderful it is to have faith because then a person is a light. A person without faith is not considered living, neither here nor, of course, in the heavenly court, he is doomed. How would a person go about receiving, acquiring this faith? Melanel says that the foundation of faith, foundation of the Torah itself, is Yirah, fear. Fear of punishment. Melanel says, beware, because this sounds very childish. You tell a child, don't touch, or you'll be given a licking. Don't eat the thing which is forbidden, or you'll be punished. This is the same true method by which every person, an adult too, can be raised and be elevated to the highest degree by starting with the basic foundation, base rule of fear, yiras ha'einish, fear of punishment. Because if a person doesn't have this fear of punishment, he can always stray. He can always become bored, tired, or filled with desire to go elsewhere, to find satisfaction elsewhere. He finds things that will amuse him better. But if a person has this fear, if he's warned, if he realizes, no matter what you do, one thing is guaranteed, whether you have faith or not, you must admit there's no way for you to get out of this world alive. There's going to come a time, time will pass. Every person, the smartest, the dumbest, the biggest philosopher, the greatest scientist, must come to his end. And he must go to the same earthly grave, buried in earth and mud, permanently, as far as he's concerned. So what has he accomplished? What has all his wisdom brought him? Unless you realize then that this is not the end. This is the beginning. This is the goal that one works for. Any of that know that there is guaranteed payment for deeds on earth, guaranteed for everyone. There is reward guaranteed by Hashem for mitzvahs, following the commands of Hashem, and there is at the same time an absolute guarantee of punishment for those who commit sins. Sins mean going against the command of Hashem in the Torah. Person has this Yiras Ha'einish, this Yirah, which some people say is a shame. It is a shame for a Jew to serve Hashem through fear. Isn't it much better, much more admirable for a Jew to serve Hashem out of love, out of ahava? You obey Hashem because you love him, not because you fear him. This is a universal error, a mistake. Because those who claim to serve Hashem out of Ahava are definitely lying. They are false. Because one day they have Ahava for the Torah, for Hashem. Next day they find a new interest that draws them away and they like the other thing better. Ahava has no foundation at all. But if there is Yirah, they find something else, they still stop and think. There's a whip waiting to punish. I can't afford to go to this new interest because it is dangerous. So the foundation then is Yirah. Of course, it is much nicer to serve Hashem through Ahava, but that is automatic. If you acquire Yirah, fear, first, then you will automatically have Ahava of Hashem afterwards. It will come automatically because the Gemara says that Yirah and Ahava are also male and female. Everything in existence is not of neuter gender. Everything is considered male or female, whether it is alive, whether it's organic or inorganic. In this case, Yirah, fear of Hashem, is considered female. Isha Yiras Hashem Itis Halo. Avas Hashem, love for Hashem, is male. Ahava, of course, is the gematria Echod, Hashem Echod. Yirah is, that is Hashem Echod, that stands for Ahava. Yirah stands for the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem, which is female. It is the king and Hashem's queen, the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem. You must first get to the female. If you arrive at that, if you achieve that, automatically the Gemara says that the nature is that the male is the pursuer. The female is the pursued. That is the nature of the world. So if you have the female, the male will automatically follow. If you have Yirah, you will automatically achieve Ahava. It will certainly be easier because Yirah is the base, the foundation. Ahava is built upon that foundation. And those who are Zecha, those who are privileged, serve Hashem and reach the point of Ahava, Avas Hashem, Benel says, do not be misled. There are some who serve Hashem through Ahava. But Benazar testifies there are very, very few. Because wait first and see if you think you have Yiras Hashem. Do you really fear Hashem? Test yourself. Very easy, test yourself. Now, you know that a certain item is forbidden. Every person each day is given to temptation, and each person somehow breaks at least a minor law each day, ever so minor, ever so little. If you feared Hashem as you would fear a whip or as you would fear a policeman watching you at a red light, then surely you would not break that law. So if you do transgress, it shows that your fear of Hashem is weak. It is not actual. It is not real. Before you try to serve Hashem of Ahava, first perfect this fear of Hashem, which is emunah, true faith. Truly to believe that Hashem is watching every step you make. You get that emunah through Yirah, and you can rise higher to Ahava, to serve Hashem of Ahava. Sefer Kodesh says, again, Ahava is male, Yirah, female. And this is the secret of what is meant in the Pasuk, where we say, a person should respect father and mother. Abba be'imo, father is Ahava, that's the Yud of Yud is Ahava, K is Yirah. The Gemara says, respect your father and mother. Why does the Torah say, Ish imo evi aviv tiro? Each person should fear his mother and father. Why should a person fear his mother first, then his father? Why does the Torah say, the Torah says respect, it says respect your father and mother. But it says fear your mother and father. Why mother first? Gemara says because it is known that a person fears his father more than his mother. His father is the one who gives him the beatings. So he fears by nature the father more. Therefore, the Torah has to warn you, first fear your mother, then the father. Zayde Kodesh says the reason is a very simple one. Because it is natural, since Imo is Yirah, Abo is Ahava, it says, Kabe de Savicha, Kabe de Zahavo, that goes father first. Yiro ish imay biyavetiro. When it comes to Yiro, the fear that is female, therefore imay mother is first. Now, to go one step further, Benazal shows the depth, the importance of Yiro, fear, because the Gemara tells us when a person comes before the heavenly court, each person must give an account of himself. He was sent to this world, lived through a period of years, whether he lived the entire 70 years, or whether his life was cut off at a shorter date. He must appear before the heavenly court, and there he must answer questions. The Gemara says every person must answer six questions, six basic questions. These six questions correspond to the six sections of the Talmud, six divisions of the Mishnayos. First one is Zeroyim. Zeroyim deals with vegetation, that which is actually we live on, food. The second is Mayed, holidays. The third is Noshim, laws about women, marriage, so on. Fourth is Nazikin, that is damages of property or dealings with among people, among businessmen. The fifth is Kodeshim, that is sacrifices in the Holy Temple. And the sixth is Tadas, purity, to avoid that which is contaminating and impure. Corresponding to these six, there are six questions asked in the heavenly court. First question is, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did you do business, do you conduct your affairs in life with faith? Did you have faith in Hashem that it wasn't your ability and your knowledge and your greatness that created for you a livelihood? It was the kindness of Hashem. Because if Hashem wants, the smartest person in the world could starve. The greatest company in the world could go bankrupt. Hashem wants the simplest person can make a fortune out of rags. Arnasa, livelihood and money comes from Hashem. Did you have that faith? That Zidoyim, the food that grew, that was given to you to live on, came from Hashem. Second case, Mayed means time. Kovata itim latayda. Did you, throughout your entire life, daily, despite how occupied you were with business problems, family problems, did you establish, set aside time each day to study Torah? Torah is the word of Hashem. Did that take an important part in your life? Or was that secondary? You devoted time for everything else. Did you devote time to the Torah as an absolute requirement in your life? Which means that every single day of your life, you had some time devoted to Torah. That's a very important question to answer because the Gemara says that though that is the second question, it's the first one for which a person is punished. Third question is, did you fulfill the first mitzvah of the Torah? Were you married? Did you have children? Because since you were born into this world, it is your obligation and duty to propagate the breed. It is your duty to see to it that the world continues to exist. If a person is selfish and destructive, self was born and refuses to carry on further and have children, that person is a destroyer of the world. This question then is asked of a person, did you devote time to it, did you devote effort to it, and see to it that it was accomplished? There are many laws about this which are a separate set of rules in itself. A fourth statement is, Nezikin, did you see peace only Yeshua? Did you look forward to every day with true hope and anticipation for the coming of Mashiach? Did you let one day go by without thought of Mashiach in your mind? If so, that day was dead. Every Jew must constantly pray for Mashiach to come. What is the connection between these two? Why are these two together? Because the Gemara says that Mashiach will come after all children, all souls in heaven are produced. All these souls are used up in heaven, and then Mashiach will come. So each time a person is Isaac, a person sees to it that he has children, giving birth to a child means you bring Mashiach that much closer, one step closer. The other two deal with delving into wisdom, the true wisdom of the Torah. The Gemara says that if a person answers in the affirmative, he passes this test, extreme test. Did you do everything? Yes. Fine. Well, now you don't pass yet. Now we tell you all this is worth zero unless you prove that you had Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. If you have fear of Hashem, fine, you've passed. If not, then all this is worth nothing. It's worthless. Of course, there are people who have children, they study Torah, they break the laws. The people who study Torah well, and they violate the Shabbos, they eat treif. But there's these people who could answer an affirmative, and yet there was no Yiddish name to them. They have no actual fear of Hashem. Because this is the first important item, it is like, it's comparable to the Meneda, the candelabra and the Beis Hamikdash in the Holy Temple. The Torah says had seven candles. These seven candles did not burn in unison in straight water. The fire that came from these candles, the central candle burned directly upwards in a vertical form. The three on both sides were at a slant towards the center. That means these three on both sides looked towards the center for their guide. Now, these three on both sides, that means these six, represent the six parts of the Torah, Mishnayos, the six questions and the rest of a person. They're all very good, they're very holy, but they must all turn to the central candle, which is Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. If you have that central candle burning straight upwards, and these six are turned to the center, you have a perfect menorah. Otherwise, it is worthless because the entire menorah fails. By the same token, too, we have the Shabbos Kodesh. The Shabbos is very holy. The 6 days of the week are represented by the Shabbos itself. Shabbos provides for the 6 days. The 6 days look up to the Shabbos, Shabbos being their leader, their queen, the Shabbos queen. If a person lives in the 6 days looking forward to the Shabbos queen, purifying himself, preparing himself, then he can enjoy the Shabbos Kodesh. Of course, the Shabbos stands for the future world, Gan Eden. 6 days represent the days of work, physical work, labor on this world. But then we find that the Shabbos Kodesh itself, too, by the same token, stands for fear of Hashem. The very first word in the Torah is Bereshis. In the beginning, the word Bereshis is two words, Yodei Shabbos. Yodei, fear. Shabbos teaches us this item of fear. Because fear and Shabbos are the central candle, the central pillar upon which the entire creation exists. Avinu says, therefore, the point, this is all possible for a person who possesses or who desires to possess Emunah, faith. But if a person goes into the study of these books of evil, of philosophy, then there enters into his heart, it penetrates into his mind and heart, the doubts, the questions, the contradictions, which begin to poison his mind and lead him astray, away from true faith, lead him into kefida or atheism. These books are very destructive, and they are very potent, very poisonous. Person should know, too, that if he is tempted to read it, stop and think. What profit can you gain by reading these books? What wisdom, what depth, what knowledge can you gain there? There is only a loss possible. Definitely, there's no kedusha. There's no holiness in them whatsoever. Even if written by some of the great rabbis of the past, there is nothing holy about them because their quotations come from the Greek philosophers from the Ada of Rabbah of the past. So a person can only lose. Why gamble on something as a definite loser? A person can definitely lose his mind and surely lose his Elam Haba, his Gan Eden. As we said, it's a one-way ticket to the opposite. The Benedict said, note how fortunate we are that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us this in the very first sentence of the Torah. Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve'es ha-aretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. That's the first statement. How, why, just like that. This is the message that he carried, transmitted to us from heaven. Know, believe that Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Hashem is the creator, and Hashem conducts life and will do so forever afterwards. Live with this faith. Live with it. You're living within the confines of the Torah, the confines of the eternal. Now, it is true that there is one place in the Zohar Kodesh where the Zohar Kodesh belittles fear also. A Jew who serves Hashem through fear, the Zohar Kodesh says, is a low type of Jew. He's a low man on a low level. It is much better to reach a higher level. Beinel says that this, us is shown to take this as literally as it says. The simple reason that we find elsewhere that the Kunei Zayat, elsewhere in the Zayat Kodesh itself, what the Zayat Kodesh says too, the same words of the Benazal, that the foundation, the Yisayid of Emunah is Yiras Hashem. You must begin with Yiras Hashem, thereby to rise up to the next levels. There are two levels above that. The Benazal says, don't try to jump to those two because very, very few ever got to them. You can go through life and boast that you reached the first level, Yiras Hashem alone, Yiras Ha'inish, fear of punishment, fear of Hashem, then you've gotten to a very high degree. You can live forever with that alone in Gehenna. The next two levels, though, wrote it for them, level after Yiras Ha'inish, is Ahava, that's the love for Hashem, and above that we have a third level. The Kunei Zohar explains this third level, because we find that as a tefillah that a Jew says before doing a mitzvah, Hashem Yichud Kutcha B'Rechu Shchentei, you do this mitzvah in order to bring together Miyachet Kaviyocho, we can be said, Hashem and the Shechina King and Queen to make this Yichud Shemala, B'Rechimu U'Dechilu, U'Dechilu B'Rechimu, with fear, and with Ira and Ahava and Ira. We find sometimes Ahava first, Yira first. It is as though it's difficult to tell which comes first. Does Ahava come before Yira or Yira before Ahava? Kunei Zohar says the answer is simple. The answer is factually, we find sometimes that Yud K, we know, we accept always that Yud is Ahava, K is Yira. Chachma and Bina, Chachma is Ahava, Bina is Dinam, Yira. That will be accepted and understood then. Of course, naturally, Chachma is above Bina, Ahava is above Yira. And how can we find sometimes the Dechibu Udechimu, that Yira is above Ahava, we find that Bina is classified sometimes as Ahava, and Chachma classified as Yira. How is that possible? Lady Kodesh answers that this is because there is a top level above these two. The top level is also called Yira. That's Yiras Haremus. It is not fear of punishment, fear of a whip, fear of a beating. It's fear, awe, the tremendous awe that a person has when he begins to realize the infinite greatness of Hashem. There is a fear set within awe, like a diamond in a wonderful setting. This fear, awe before Hashem's greatness, that is even greater devotion than even Ahavat Hashem. This, of course, is very rare. This is only among the greatest of the Tzaddikim Nitiyim. But this is what the Zohar Kodesh says, that when we classify Bina as Ahava, then compared to that Ahava, there's something even greater. That's the Yiras Haremus, where Chochmah becomes the Yira. But again, of course, it would be foolish for a person to attempt to reach that step without first going honestly with a lot of sacrifice on his own part, a lot of work on his part to control his desires, to control his evil characteristics, to destroy them, wipe them out completely. Because a person cannot really get to Ahavas Hashem till he erases some of the bad midas that are inherent in a person by birth. For example, one of the worst, as the Zohar Kodesh, the Rizal says, we spoke about this, is kas. A person who has a bad temper might take it as something light, as a joke. Factually, Rizal says that a bad temper is teinif nafshei. A person who falls into kas and anger literally tears his own soul apart. He destroys his neshama. When he does that, he remains spiritually on the level of an animal. A person who has a shown through kas destroys his spirit, remains only in a physical sense, which means he's on the same level as a behemoth, as an animal. And from then on, if you put tefillin on a horse, there's no mitzvah for that horse. So a person who has destroyed himself through anger, through temper, losing his temper, the mitzvah he does subsequently is of very little value. What is necessary then, a person who is formed in this cause, he must go through a strong test of tshuva, repentance. Repentance is possible only, the Rambam said, by going to the other extreme. He must allow himself to be insulted, derided, belittled, shamed, embarrassed, and not to retort. Then he has proven that he has overcome his pride and his anger. This aside from the fact that especially the foundation in married life, in a home, is patience. Patience and self-control. Because the Gemara says that anger in a home is exactly the same as termites. Termites can destroy a home completely, and this is what Kaz says, Kishum Shpil Beisa. Whether it is on the side of the husband or the wife, either case, it is destructive. This aside from the spiritual loss, and that's why the first item, most important that a person should attack first in improving himself, is to eradicate, to erase this midah of kas. A person who does succeed in this could succeed only partially, to a high degree, but not completely, until he is zecher to go to Eretz Yisrael. To really complete this, he must get to Eretz Yisrael. And this, Rabbeinu says, is possible. The Mefarshim on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos say that kosher lichais is a tzaddik. A person who is very difficult to become angered. He does not lose his temper except on a rare occasion. That's a tzaddik. It's impossible to never lose his temper. Rabbeinu says, refutes that and says it is possible. A person can actually destroy kas completely to remain without the last vestige of anger at all. Become so perfect in patience, sevlanut, that he can take anything at all without losing his temper. Now, this is the true midah of tzaddik. This can be completely accomplished only through Eretz Yisrael. This, of course, is the key to midas tzaddik. This, Rabbeinu says, is the first step, yidah, where a person must avoid at all costs any contact with these books of philosophy. They must adopt an attitude of pure, complete, solid faith. There's a further discussion about these philosophers in a different sense, a term called scientists, which Rabbeinu Zal attacks and explains, enlightens us on. We'll take up the next Shia Mitzvah Shem. What is truly meant by scientists and inventors, where these inventions come from. To know are the true facts about them, we'll discuss them later. Let's hope that we are zecher to purify ourselves completely, and to acquire the true emunah shleimah, true faith in Hashem, and the tzaddik emes,